Greetings, Pastor Keith. Really excited today to launch our new series, At the Movies. Even more excited I am to welcome to the platform today a young man who is on fire to see Christ glorified and his kingdom amplified in this community, in his own community and this community. This man is on the pipeline, on the path to being a minister in the Methodist Church. And we're excited to have him here today. He is passionate about the gospel, has a unique way to communicate. I want you today to give a big Palm Harbor welcome to Abdel Rodriguez. Please welcome him today.
Thank you. Fight or flight. For years, we've heard this phrase. It speaks of a physiological reaction before an event we perceive as stressful or frightening. I know that in my life I've experienced this a couple of times, because the reality is that when we face fear, when we look at it in the face, our reaction is to act out some way or another. At times we fight battles that we could easily lose, and at times we run away from situations that could easily be overcome. But unfortunately, we don't really think about these things in the moment, because fear will make us do some very irrational things. Some of us love to think things through, but when afraid, we'll stop thinking. Some of us are great at keeping our cool, but when we face fear, we completely freak out. Because fear, again, will push us to do some very irrational things. Hello, Palm Harbor. My name is Abdel, like Keith said, and I'm a candidate for ministry in the United Methodist Church. I'm also the youth director at my local church, Faith Primera Iglesia Hispanic Church in the Tampa area. And Pastor Keith and I have known each other for a few years when I decided to enter into discernment of ministry, of what I wanted to do within the United Methodist Church. Our district superintendent at the time connected the both of us, and he has been my mentor since. So these two accents have been dealing with each other for some time now. Today, I am so excited, however, to share what God has been drilling in my heart for the past couple of days. This Sunday, we start a new series called At the Movies. And through this time, we'll be trying to extract faith principles from films that will help us grow in our journey as believers. And one of the first things we'll be discerning in this series is the effect fear can have over our lives and how to overcome it. Because I want to let you know, yes, we face fears. All of us have them. We all have some type of fear. But the good news is you do not have to remain afraid. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Just go with me real quick. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses 22 through 25. And the Word of God says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon, a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Master, Master, we are going to drown.' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, 'Where is your faith?' The disciples were terrified and amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him.'" God, we want to thank you for this moment. I pray that it will be your words speaking through my mouth. Prepare our hearts for what you have to give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage that we just read kind of reminds me of my favorite scene from the movie Monsters, Inc. It all happened at a sushi bar. And Mike Wazowski, the little round green monster, was at a date with the love of his life. And all of a sudden, this moment is interrupted by this other monster called Sully, who runs into the sushi bar with a lot of distress, worried, concern, and he was also carrying a bag that contained any monster's biggest fear, a toddler. And I don't blame them. During a conversation between Mike and Sully, this toddler, like any other good toddler, wander around and, you know, they lost sight of her. And all of a sudden, she was found by the rest of the monsters at the sushi bar. And they were all afraid and running for their lives because they didn't understand or comprehend what was happening. And my favorite part is not even that. My favorite part is what follows after that. The police comes and the news gets there and they interview a couple monsters and some of them say, a kid flew right over my head and blasted a car with its laser vision. And another one said, I tried to run, but it picked me up with its mind powers and shook me like a doll. My favorite one, however, is the one that comes from the mouth of the news anchor. And he says, it is my professional opinion that now it's the time to panic. Panic seems to be the response to the events that we do not know or understand. The disciples had been hanging out with Jesus for some time now. They knew Jesus. Jesus had revealed some very profound things to them. They were part of Jesus' inner circle. Just verses before this, Jesus said to them, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Wow. How beautiful to hear that from the mouth of Jesus himself. How beautiful to know that we are part of Jesus' inner circle. How amazing to know that we will understand things that are hidden to others because we walk with him. How beautiful to know that just like he did with the disciples, at times he will bring callings over our lives, and we love when he calls us and when he gives assignments to us, because we know that if we hear his voice, we'll always be led into the right direction. The disciples, they heard Jesus' voice in this passage. And not only did they hear Jesus' voice, they obeyed what he said. They too understood that by obeying him, they will be led into the right direction. Yet, there was a storm. In the middle of leaving out the assignment that Jesus gave to them, in the middle of being part of that beautiful inner circle with Jesus, in the middle of being disciples and followers of him, even when they were living out that life, a storm still came down. Seems like storms are part of life. Seems like they'll happen at some point or another. Seems like being disciples of Jesus and part of his inner circle does not guarantee that we will not face the storms of life. Why then should I be a disciple of Jesus? Why should I hear the voice that gives me the command and obey it? Why, if it doesn't free me from the troubles of life? Because when we walk with the certainty that we are disciples, when we walk with the certainty that we are part of the inner circle, our only options are no longer just to fight or flight. Now he comes and he gives a third option. Now he approaches us and he says, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the problems of life, in the middle of what may bring fear to the hearts of others, now Jesus says to us, rest. And his voice echoes and says, rest. It was there in John chapter 13, verse 33, that he said to the disciples, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will find many trials and sorrows. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, take heart. The fact that you're following me, the fact that you have forsaken everything and you have decided to pick up that cross and follow me, it's not guaranteed that you are not going to face trials and sorrows. But Jesus says, I will let you know this thing. In the middle of all of that, you will continue to experience peace. When others are freaking out and running around because things are not working out the way that they expected things were going to work, how Jesus says, you will still find rest. When the situations come and we face the problems of the world, Jesus says, rest. And by saying rest, he says to us, you are not alone. How beautiful to know that even if nobody else is near us, we're still not alone. How beautiful to know that even if you are facing problems that maybe others do not know about, you are not alone. By saying rest, Jesus continues to say, you are being heard and you are being seen. He's listening very carefully and he's seeing all that is happening. You need to understand that while things may not be working out the way that you expected things to work out, you are still being taken care of. And the question comes to mind, how do I rest in the middle of my storm? You may say to me, well, you don't know me. You do not know what my storm looks like. Right now, it looks like a hurricane. Right now, it looks really bad. How can you tell me with such confidence that I can find rest in the middle of all of this? And I want you to know this, and I'm going to ask you to understand that these are not my words. I'm just speaking them to you. I'm echoing these words, but these are not my words. This isn't a promise that comes from me, a simple man. This is a promise that comes from Jesus. This comes directly from him. He who knows you, he who knows your heart, he who knows your storm, he continues to say, rest. He promised to us that there are no storms too windy or too powerful in this life that will ever prevent us from experiencing his peace. Well, that's great, Abdel. Thank you for that. That's amazing. That sounds great. I believe I can find peace in the middle of the storm, but let me ask you something. Can you break that down for me? What does that look like? How could this ever happen? And in this passage, we find attitudes and questions that give us the answer to this. This passage reveals to us the three characteristics that any woman or any man who desires to conquer their fears must carry. If you want to experience the rest in the middle of the storm, the first thing that we're taught by this text is that, one, we must believe. We've got to believe. Jesus asks the disciples a very important question. Question in this passage that says to all of them, where is your faith? I read this and I was truly confronted by this question. Because many times we place our faith on anything but Jesus. Many times we place our faith on what we can do, our abilities. Many times we place our faith on others. Many times we encounter a situation, many times we encounter fear, and far from going to Him, we go to any other place. And it's good to find support. It's good to find people that will lift your arms, but you have to understand our faith needs to be fully on Him. Where is our faith? And I can already hear the thoughts of the disciples, and these were my thoughts, and I can imagine the thoughts of some of us here. But the disciples could have said within themselves, but Jesus, what do you mean, where is our faith? The boat was being filled with water. We were at the verge of sinking. The storm was raging. What do you mean, where was our faith? And still Jesus asked the question, where is your faith? See, the thing is, the disciples didn't see it at the time. Couldn't understand it at the moment. But the reality was that they were in that boat because Jesus told them at the beginning to get on the boat. And this meant that because they were obedient to Jesus' command, now they became Jesus' responsibility. Gotta understand this. When you are obedient to His command, you are His responsibility. And this brought me back to my childhood. I'm the youngest of my siblings. I'm the youngest of the cousins. My mom is very overprotective, so whenever I wanted to do something that the other kids wanted to do that didn't seem okay to her, she will always tell me not to do it. And I will always complain back, and I will always tell her, but why do you tell me I cannot do it if the other kids are doing it? And her answer was always very simple, always the same. And she just used to tell me, I don't know what's happening with the other kids, but you are my responsibility. Whatever happens to you falls on me because you are my responsibility. And yes, there are moments that are difficult, but we continue to be His responsibility. When you and I say yes to Jesus, when you and I accept Him, when you and I decide to follow Him, we become, listen to this, His possession. We become His. And anybody who cares about their things, they're going to look after them. I just recently bought a new car, and anything that went near the car, I would just be very careful with because I didn't want any scratches. I don't want anything on my car. I wanted my car to be very taken care of because it was my possession. Because I'm paying monthly for it. Because there's a price behind that. You are His possession. That's why we must understand that He has never missed a moment. He has never missed a moment. To some people, Jesus was probably absent in this text. Some could say that He was disconnected from what was happening to the disciples. But I believe that although Jesus was quiet, He never stopped being present. And there are moments when we stop hearing His voice, and there are moments when we think that He has backed out, and there are moments where we think that He's no longer there, but I promise you, just because He's quiet, it does not mean that He's absent. Yes, life will continue to be life. Yes, difficult moments could come our way. Yes, unexpected things are going to happen, but understand this much. God has never missed a moment. He continues to be present all the way, even when it's hard to see what He's doing. He continues to say, believe. He keeps on saying, believe. And when we hear this word, believe, and we automatically say, yes, yes, I believe. Obviously, I believe. I'm here, Abdel. I'm a church. I participate in all of the activities. I volunteer. I give. Of course, I believe. And all of that is good. But believing will require a little bit more from us. Believing will require a little bit more from us. Paul used to say to the Corinthians, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Believing will require that even when we don't see the whole picture, we will continue to do as God says. Believing will require that even when we don't really think that His presence, we'll continue to do as He has commanded us to do. Believing will require that we don't move by the visual things in front of our eyes, but by what the Lord has commanded us to do. It takes courage to believe. Some may say that believing is for the fool, but believing is for the courageous. Believing is for the one who's willing to fight even when they see that the army in front of them is greater than the one they have. Believing is moving forward even when you don't really see the path. Believing is steering a boat in the middle of a storm even when you don't think you're going to make it. Only the courageous believed in the Bible. David was told that he was going to be a king. He believed that he was going to be a king. And even when difficulties came his way, when things stood in the way of him and his purpose, he continued to believe that he was going to be a king. Joshua and Caleb were told that they were going to conquer the land that the Lord had promised to them. And then they arrived to that land and they saw that it was filled by giants, people who could fight. But they returned believing that they could conquer the land. Some people may say that believing is for the young. Well, that was for David, who was a young kid. That was for Joshua and Caleb, who were young people. They had all of their lives ahead of them. But what about Abraham and Sarah? Who in their elder years, the Lord gave them the promise that they were going to conceive, even when all odds were against them. They held on to that word. They believe. Believe is holding on to what the Lord says and not caring about what any other word says, any other voice says, because you understand that the voice that comes from the throne of grace has power over anything else. In believing, we will learn to approach Him. Those who want to conquer their fears, those who want to take over, those who do not want to live in that space of fear anymore, one must believe, and they must also approach Jesus. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. We have to approach Jesus boldly. The disciples understood this, and even though their faith was not enough at the time because Jesus asked them, they still went looking for Jesus in the middle of the storm. They understood. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what Jesus was going to do, but they understood that Jesus was going to do something. They approached Jesus because they believed that Jesus was able to change their circumstances. Only those who approached him boldly ever received their miracle. Only those who approached Jesus boldly ever received anything from him. Remember the woman who was bleeding for 12 years? When the Bible talks about her, it says that Jesus was surrounded by a multitude, and this woman who was bleeding for 12 years decided that she was going to approach Jesus boldly. She decided that she was going to approach Jesus different from the rest of the multitude. Everyone else was touching Jesus. Everyone else was around him, the disciples, the multitude, everyone. But this woman decided that she was going to touch him like someone who believes in boldness. And this act was so impressive that even Jesus was impressed by this. Because Jesus had to stop everyone and everything, and he asked a question. He said, "Who touched me?" And obviously the disciples looked at him like he was a little crazy, and they were like, "Well, Lord, everybody's touching you. You're surrounded by a multitude." But Jesus said, "No. Somebody touched me in boldness. Somebody touched me like someone who believes, because power came out of me." When you approach Jesus boldly, when you approach Jesus as someone who believes, you will experience the power that comes from Jesus. You will experience the power that comes from Jesus at your house. You will experience the power that comes from Jesus at your school. You will experience the power that comes from Jesus in your family. You will experience the power that comes from Jesus wherever you go. Because you approach him boldly. Church, we have to believe. We have to approach him boldly. And we have to know who we walk with. The disciples, they asked the question at the end of the text that left them in awe. They said, "Who is this man? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus that called us fishermen and tax collectors and people without worth? Who is this guy that stands before the raging storm and says, 'Stop,' and the sea has to stop and the winds have to stop?" But the thing is that sometimes we approach Jesus projecting our limitations onto him. And we come to him thinking that he is able to do only as we are able to do. And so, "Jesus, I'm not capable of doing this. So maybe you're not capable of doing it. Jesus, I'm not capable of stopping the storm right now. Maybe you're not capable of stopping the storm." Jesus is able to do much, much more than what we think he can do. There was this time where Jesus walked into this scenario of death where his friend Lazarus died, and he had a conversation with Martha where he revealed to her his identity, and he said, "I am the resurrection." We got to know who we're walking with. We're walking with somebody who is more powerful than what we can think. And he not only said to her, "I am the resurrection," he showed to her that he was the resurrection by calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And he continues to call people today out of the tomb. He continues to display this kind of power. We need to know who we're walking with. Because the moment we realize that he is not just a pocket God or a luck charm, that he's way more than that, then we will experience supernatural movement of Jesus in our lives. We will experience how his perfect love will cast out all fears. We will experience how the storms in our life will stop. And we will be able to rest even when they're raging. So, to end this moment, I'd like to leave you with a few verses from a song that I love so much. It's called Victor's Crown. If you ever have the chance after church, you can just please Google it and listen to it. It's an amazing song, Victor's Crown. And the song says, "You are ever interceding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus, the Messiah. You are the hope of all the world. By your grace, I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You have overcome. You have overcome." Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we just want to thank you for who you are. You have overcome the world. And because of this, oh Father, we can find rest even in the middle of the storms. I pray, oh Father, that your perfect love will cast out all fear in our life. That we'll be able to walk believing, Father. That we'll be able to approach you boldly. And that we will truly know who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.